The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Cindy Fowler from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the Garden Smart e-newsletter, the state-by-state gardening e-newsletter, the Triangle Gardener magazine, and maybe from Jerry Baker's terrific garden tonics. And we'll start with the Garden Smart e-newsletter titled Embracing Fragrance in the Garden by Susan Martin for proven winners. When we see beautiful flowers, our instinct propels us to pull them in closer for a sniff, even when we know they don't have a fragrance. We love scented blooms, not only for the perfume they exude, but because of the nostalgic memories they can evoke. Bees enjoy them, too. Let's take a closer look at how you can embrace fragrance to the fullest in your garden. Nostalgic scents. Have you ever noticed how certain scents can immediately bring you back to a very specific place and time? As if you were right there again? Sometimes it's a familiar scent with an obvious connection, but other times a scent can trigger a long-forgotten experience. When I stick my nose in a luscious lantana flower, its fragrance is so familiar yet hard to describe. Then I remember the distinctive smell of the Mr. Sketch scented markers I adored as a child. Those lantanas smell just like them. I'm brought right back to the kitchen table where I used to sit and draw for hours. I was a huge fan of grape bubble yum back then, too. It made the biggest bubbles, and I had an eternal quest to blow bigger ones than my brother. Once, I blew a bubble so big it got caught in my eyebrows. Angel Face Angelonia smells just like that sugary sweet gum to me. Isn't it amazing how the smell of flowers can bring back memories of things that happened so long ago? There is actually some science that links scent and nostalgia. It's a phenomenon known as odor-evoked autobiographical memory, and it describes the relationship between odors and the part of your brain that stores long-term memories. That connection is the reason why specific scents can whisk you away to another time, as if you were experiencing it all over again. The distinctive scent of sweet alyssum lining the walkway up to our front door signified I had made it home safely. The heady fragrance of the wild lilacs that lined the road to our family's cottage meant that summer vacation had officially begun. What scents from the garden bring you back in time? Grow these nostalgic, fragrant blossoms to create memories for those who pass through your garden. Snow Princess Sweet Alyssum, Bluebird Nemesia, Fruit Punch Dianthus, Festival Star Baby's Breath, Sweet Romance Lavender, Bloomerang Lilac, Lo and Behold Butterfly Bush, and Little Henry Sweet Spire. Bees love fragrant flowers, too. It's not just humans who hold strong associations with fragrances. Scent plays a role in attracting bees, which is why you'll find that many plants with light, fresh fragrances are pollinated by bees. When you add fragrant plants to your garden for you, you're also doing a favor for pollinators. Some fragrant plants that provide a nutritious pollen source for bees include Rockin' Salvia, Lakota Fire Coneflower, Pardon My Bee Balm series, Cat's Meow Catmint, Color Spires Salvia, Sugar Shack Buttonbush, and Sugartina Crystallina Summer Sweet. Deer prefer plants without a scent. You can use fragrance to your advantage if you garden where deer are an issue. Many, but not all, plants with fragrant foliage are often passed over by these creatures. They prefer a more bland, succulent palate than most fragrant plants provide. That's why they typically leave plants like abelia, sweet shrub, viburnum, Russian sage, perennial salvia, and sweet bay alone, in addition to most of the plants I've mentioned above. While it isn't a fail-safe trick, you'll find it will make a difference. On the next beautiful, sunny day, take a walk around your garden or neighborhood and pay close attention to fragrance. Which scents spur your recollection of a favorite childhood memory or remind you of a loved one? Snap a quick photo or make a note of them. Then look for them next time you're at the nursery. Create new memories for those you share your garden with by filling it with the sweet perfume of fragrant flowers and plants. Now from the Triangle Gardener magazine. Plant Focus, Anise Shrubs by Tina Mast. Need to brighten up a shady spot and looking for a deer-resistant plant that will fit the bill? I love the yellow-leafed anise shrubs that have come out on the market in the last several years, and one such is Banan Appeal Anise, Elysium. So many of us in the Triangle area find ourselves gardening under the shade of our native loblolly pines and deciduous hardwood trees. The shade they provide is wonderful in our sweaty summers, as is the habitat it affords to songbirds and other native species. But shade is so, well, shady. It can be a challenge at times to brighten up those areas. Plant a bunch of shrubs and perennials in the shade, and you sometimes produce a conglomerate of green that almost enhances its darker qualities. That's when plants with colors other than green come in to save the day. Plants like the aptly named Banan Appeal Anise and also the Florida Sunshine Anise, flashing with bright yellow and chartreuse foliage, these shrubs pop with color in those dark nooks of the landscape, providing contrast and brightening the scene. These are what I call a handsome shrub. You don't get spectacular blooms, but it still sings for its supper with smooth, luminescent foliage that remains evergreen in winter, and other key benefits like being deer-resistant, easy to grow, and rarely being bothered by pests or disease. Wet soils won't bother it, making it an excellent plant for the many of us in the area who have poorly drained, heavy clay soil. I should note that this is not true anise, so if you're thinking about incorporating it into cuisine or cocktails, do not. This one's for looking at, not eating. By all means, pick and crush one of the leaves to enjoy that lovely, licorice-like fragrance that prompted the naming of this plant. But leave it at that. That said, it is not likely to be acutely toxic if someone were to bite into a leaf, and does not even get listed on various lists of poisonous plants one can find online. The only reason to mention it is because it shares a name with other plants, the parts of which are rare, routinely eaten or used for flavoring. Back to interesting stuff like gardening. be sure to pair the Banan Appeal Anise with well-chosen companion plants, and you will have a shade garden that sings instead of sighs. I like the wine-colored fringe bushes, Loropetalum, for contrast, as well as blue hostas, dwarf sweet box, dark pink azaleas or camellias, hellebores, and probably just about any hydrangea. Banan Appeal Anise is said to grow to 3 to 4 feet tall and wide. My nursery person's well-earned cynicism sends out a little warning on this. Breeders are notorious for underestimating the eventual size of new plants. It would not shock me if this baby tops out closer to 5 feet. That still makes it a contender, however, for many planting situations, including foundations, mixed borders, accents, and hedges. With this beautiful plant, I say all of the above. If you are looking for something extremely similar that features just about everything that Banan Appeal does, but need a bit more height for, say, a privacy screening, try the Florida Sunshine cultivar, which grows up to 8 feet tall. In the garden, May through June, plant perennials and summer annuals and work a slow-release fertilizer into the hole when planting. Plant summer bulbs, dahlias, cannas, caladiums, and tropical water lilies and heat-loving annuals such as portulaca and sun coleus. Wait until spring bulb foliage dies down before removing it. Fertilize with bone meal after blooming. Spray roses for black spot and other fungus-type diseases. Check your vegetable garden daily for water needs. Fertilize weekly, as these plants are heavy feeders, and keep watch for disease and insects. Plant warm season crops in May. Eggplant, peppers, squash, cucumbers, snap beans, peppers, okra, and watermelons. Stake or cage tomatoes and train green beans and cucumbers up trellises or supports. Control blossom end rot on tomatoes with good watering practices. Add lime to reduce the problem. Harvest vegetables and fruits in the morning, not during the heat of the day. Place the harvest in a cool place to prevent deterioration of taste. For your lawns, spot treat broadleaf weeds. It's hard to control henbit, chickweed, and hairy bittercress now, but it is a good idea to control the seed dispersal of the flowers. Hand-pulling these weeds before the seeds fall will give you a jump on next year. Watch your mower height. Bermuda, centipede, and zoysia should be mowed at 1 inch, fescue 3 inch. Do not fertilize fescue now, but you can lightly fertilize other grasses. If needed, water your lawn in early morning to avoid evaporation in the heat of the day. Manage your lawn watering needs through the Turf Irrigation Water Management Program at NC State. And finish pruning your spring blooming shrubs in May. If you prune too late, you might cut off buds for next spring's bloom. Prune new growth of evergreens and foundation shrubs to keep shape, but no more than 1/4 to 1/3 of the growth. Do not prune into the old wood, as it will not regenerate growth. Keep an eye on evergreens, junipers, arborvitae, leyland cypress, for bagworms that look like little brown hanging cones. There are worms inside that will kill an evergreen if left untreated. Bagworms are easy to control with organic insecticides, such as Bacillus thuringiensis. And Japanese beetles start to arrive in June. Be prepared. And from garden events, the Durham Garden Forum, composting, was held on May the 21st. But there will be a concert on the lawn May 30th at 6:30 p.m. featuring Diali Sissoko and Kara Ba with special guest Tony Williamson. There is a fee. and from the state-by-state gardening website. Here are some events that will be happening from May 25th through the 26th in Asheville, North Carolina. The annual Blue Ridge Rose Society Exhibition at the North Carolina Arboretum. Get inspired by the award-winning roses displayed and consult experts on rose history, selection, and cultivation. There will be rose-related programs all weekend on May the 25th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., May the 26th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., and general admission. For more information, call 828-665-2492, 828-665-2492. And on May the 25th, in Greensboro, North Carolina, a community plant and seed swap at the Glenwood Library. This is an annual swap meet to trade seeds, plants, and cuttings from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. It's free. Registration is not required. For more information, call 336-297-5000. 336-297-5000. Also from May the 25th through the 26th in Hendersonville, North Carolina. It's the 26th annual Garden Jubilee at historic downtown Hendersonville. Many retailers will be on hand selling plants, homemade garden furniture, birdhouses, tools, pottery, art, jewelry, soap, food, and more along Main Street from 6th Avenue to Caswell Street. This year, there will be guest speakers on garden and lawn topics. It's from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m., and it was organized by the Henderson County Tourism Development Authority. 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. For more information, call 800-828-4244, 800-828-4244, or 828-693-9703, 828-693-9708. And on May the 28th in Hendersonville, North Carolina, a Fairy Garden Workshop 2019 at Bullington Gardens. Learn how to make a tabletop fairy garden in a dish, complete with a tiny house and paths. Children will need an adult. It's from 1 to 5 p.m., $50. Registration is required. It's limited to 12 participants. For more information, call 828-698-6104, 828-698-6104. And from May 29th through June the 2nd in Cherokee, North Carolina, the Gourd Gathering at Cherokee Fairgrounds. There will be classes, networking, a gourd exchange, the Just Jacks Scholarship Fundraiser and Silent Auction, and more. Registration to be announced. For more information, visit gourdgathering.org. That's gourdgathering.org. And on May the 30th, in Kernersville, North Carolina, concert on the lawn at the Paul Siner Botanical Garden. Here's a little bit more information on that. Kara Bod, band leader Diali Sissoko, plays the stringed kora and comes from a family with a tradition of griot musicianship in his native Senegal. He plays with four Tar Heel natives. Also featured is Tony Williamson, a North Carolina Heritage Award recipient and seventh-generation musician focusing on string instruments for 60 years, especially the mandolin. There will be food trucks and local beers and wines. This is part of the Garden's John and Bobby Wolf Concert Series, hosted with Sonic Pie Productions. It's at 6:30 p.m. Gates will open at 5 p.m. Rain or shine, but cover is limited. It's $2, members are free, or $15, $18 at the gate. Registration is required. For more information, call 336-996-7888. 336-996-7888. And now from Jerry Baker's terrific Garden Tonics. Drinks, anyone? Believe it or not, squirrels and other varmints that take big chunks out of your tomatoes are often doing so to quench their thirst. So before you arm yourself with all kinds of pest controls, install a bird bath or other water source in your yard. If you give the thirsty critters an easy drink, they just might leave your tomatoes alone. And a little dabble do ya. Here's a neat trick that'll drive raccoons and birds crazy and save your corn crop in the process. Place the toe of a nylon stocking over each ear of corn after the pollen drops. Then just touch the top of the stocking with a dab of perfume. One whiff, and the thieves will steer clear of your crop. And here's Grandma Putt's pointers. If you can't beat 'em, fool 'em. Grandma Putt used to paint small rocks red, then scatter them around her strawberry patch before her berries ripened. The birds got so disgusted pecking at the rocks that they soon took their axe elsewhere. Try it. It works. Now the bug-off bulb bath. Used before planting, this super spa treatment will help gladiolas, cannas, and other summer-blooming bulbs laugh at disease and pesky pests. What? You've never seen laughing flowers? The ingredients: 2 teaspoons of baby shampoo, 1 teaspoon of antiseptic mouthwash, 1/4 teaspoon of instant tea granules, and 2 gallons of hot water. The instructions: mix these ingredients in a bucket, then carefully place your bulbs into the mixture. Stir gently, then remove the bulbs one at a time and plant them. When you're done, do not throw the bathwater out with the babies. Your trees, shrubs, and evergreens would love a little taste and grow better for it, so don't let it go to waste. Beautiful bulb bedmates. Few of us have garden space to spare, so it just makes sense to get the most out of every square inch we've got. Well, here's a great way to get double the bloom without digging more beds. Simply pair early spring bulbs with later rising perennials. Daylilies are one of my top picks for partnering with bulbs in sunny spots, while hostas are super in sites that'll get summer shade. Besides providing summer and fall interest, the perennials will cover up the yellowing bulb foliage in late spring, which is another big plus. Great idea. No garden can have too many lilies, but it can get pretty pricey to buy a lot of these beauties all at once. Why bother when you can grow your own? Most lilies produce small baby bulbs right above the main bulb, just below the soil surface. Loosen the soil carefully with a hand fork. Pick off the babies and then plant them in a holding bed or a corner of your vegetable garden. After a year or two, move them back to the garden for a great show. Here's a doggone dog's tonic. Whether it is a border collie rolling in your begonias or a dachshund digging in your daisies, the pitter-patter of pet paws can do a real number on your flower beds. Either way, you end up with smashed plants, compacted soil, and lots of frustration. What's the solution? Try my doggone dog's tonic to let Rover know he's not welcome there. Here are the ingredients. 2 cloves of garlic, 2 small onions, 1 jalapeno pepper, 1 tablespoon of cayenne pepper, 1 tablespoon of hot sauce, 1 tablespoon of chili powder, 1 tablespoon of dishwashing liquid, and 1 quart of warm water. Here are the instructions. Chop the garlic, onions, and jalapeno pepper finely, and then combine with the rest of the ingredients. Let the mixture sit and marinate 24 hours. Strain it through cheesecloth or old pantyhose, then sprinkle the resulting liquid on any areas where dogs are a problem. This spicy potion will keep man's best friend from becoming your garden's worst enemy. Ask Jerry. Question: I'd really like to attract more butterflies to my yard. Got any suggestions on how to do it? Answer: I sure do. Remember, butterflies get thirsty too, so make your bird bath do double duty. Fill it with rounded stones that stick out from the water surface. Then the butterflies can rest on the stones and drink without falling in. And what do you look at while you're waiting for your plants to bloom or after they're finished flowering? The foliage. So when you pick out bloomers for your garden, look for those that have pretty leaves too, and you're guaranteed to have the best-looking garden from spring to frost. We've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you enjoyed it. I'm Cindy Fowler, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleradioreadingservice.org. So long, until the next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.